Bibles with us tonight. Let's look, if you will, further into the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and looking in chapter number 9. Now we've gotten a lot of information so far about Paul and his conversion, gotten through a lot of that, but we're going to go a little bit further now, and as I told you last week when we were looking at this, you see that things turn back to where Peter is the main emphasis or the focus for the next couple of chapters or so. There'll be a few things that you'll see about Peter. And if you remember, the last thing that we read in Acts chapter number 9, after Paul had gotten converted, he began to preach, he began to be a target of those that he had once been part of. Now they were after him for all the things that he was doing that was against what he had previously been doing. So now they're against him. And if you remember the last verse there, it says in verse 31, after Paul has departed, it said, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Look at verse number 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turn to the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you for loving us and giving us this time to be here. Thank you for blessing us, and thank you for the good songs that we've enjoyed. I pray now, Lord, add your blessings to the reading of your word. Add your blessings to the preaching of your word. Just give us some instruction and information tonight and the things that we need to know to further our walk with you. And we'll just simply thank you, give you praise for it, and love you. In Jesus' name, we ask these things tonight. Amen. And amen. Amen. All right, I want you to think on this thought with me, if you will, and let's just talk about tonight, let the church roll on. Let the church roll on. I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, as I mentioned to you, here's Paul, the Apostle Paul. He has been saved. He has gotten established in his salvation, and he begins to talk to the Jews and preach to the Jews, and he is excited about being saved. But as we saw last time that we looked at this, there was a lot of opposition to him. And it seems like, as I said, those that were before time, they were all in favor of him. Now they've turned against him. All of his Jewish buddies, all of the religious Jews, they've all turned against Paul. And so there's a lot of contention that's gone on. And I don't know what it is. I've been thinking about this and reading it and studying. It's just that Paul was one of those guys that, I mean, wherever he went, something seemed to get stirred up. It just seemed to be that way. You can't separate him from the situation. And so they are laying wait. They're going to kill Paul, if you remember from the last time around. And it said verse number 30, when the brethren knew about that plot to kill Saul at that time, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. They said, Paul, best thing for you to do, get out of here and go somewhere else and lay low until things kind of settle down. And then, as I said, you notice there in verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So you see, the picture has kind of changed. All right, we've got Saul, and God's saved him, and God's working on him, and God's working through him, and now God has sent him off for a period of time. Things are about to really change as we get on further, and you'll see that the central area of everything is going to shift from Jerusalem over to a place called Antioch. That's going to happen here in just in a few chapters, but right now, the focus has shifted back to Peter and Jerusalem. Everything's going on. Well, as you see here, the first part of this tells us in verse 32, it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down to the also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. He's out into the areas round about. And I think you can see through this. What I think the Lord's trying to show us, and really trying to show Peter at this time, is that he's got some work to do that goes beyond Jerusalem. Okay? When you begin to read about this, you see, and we'll see in the progression that we go through, here is Peter at Jerusalem, but he begins to spread out his work. He begins to go to some other places. And it plainly tells us there that Peter passed throughout all the quarters that he went down to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. So here he is in this particular area, and God's beginning to do some things. But the idea is that, you know, Peter, it's time to get away from centralized Jerusalem. You remember, Jesus has told him this already back in the very first chapter. He said, you know, they won't know about the end of times and all that kind of stuff. He said, that you don't need to know that. He said, you need to go preach the gospel. He said, beginning at Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria and also to the uttermost parts. So the Lord's commission is still the same. They just hadn't moved very far with it. Now, again, things are about to really change when we switch the picture back to Paul when he begins his missionary journey. But God's working in the heart of Peter and in the other apostles and trying to get them out of their comfort zone, trying to get them away from the place they're most comfortable with, which is Jerusalem. He's trying to get them away from there. So the Bible tells you here that Peter begins to go out. And if you'll look at this, I said, first of all, you notice this, that there's the contentions that have already been dealt with. The contentions. There were contentions in the day that Paul was there. I don't know what it is about Paul. We'll probably get into this as we go along. But I'm telling you, everywhere Paul went, he stirred something up. Amen? I mean, he kept things stirred up. And Sister Barbara just singing that song in that second verse, it talks about Paul and Silas being in jail. And then why were they there? For preaching the gospel. Paul stirred everybody up. You go and look and you see everywhere he went, something happened because Paul stirred them up. He began to preach the gospel. And I don't want you to misunderstand this, but sometimes that's just the way it is with some folks that preach the gospel. They stir stuff up. But can I tell you, not everybody does that. Now, I mean, you think about that. Here's the contentions that we saw while Paul was there. And as I say, that just seems to be something about his personality and the person that Paul, just who he is. Okay? I mean, there's something about him. He has a way of preaching and a way of doing that it just stirs something up. Amen? Y'all know some preachers like that? I can think of some through my days past and my being raised in church and around. And there's some guys, buddy, they wasn't happy unless they had something stirred up. And it didn't take much for them to stir stuff up. But what I want you to notice is this. Notice this. Here's Paul, and they've got all these contentions, all this stuff. You know, he's got stuff stirred up. But I want you to notice this. It says there in verse 31, after Paul left, then had the churches rest throughout all Jerusalem and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. Now, I'm not saying anything negative about Paul. It's just after he went off the scene, stuff calmed down. Okay? And that almost looks like that's a negative. I think you got to have somebody to stir people up sometime. I think God used it, and that's just it. And when you begin to think about this, here's Peter. As I say, Peter comes back on the scene. But here the churches have gotten, there's a calm, there's a quietness, there's something that settles in. And it says the churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified. They were all lifted. Something was still going on in the church. They didn't die out. They didn't die down. They were being edified. And it said they were walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. So there's something still going on, even in the calm. Even in the fact that Paul's off of the scene right now. And it might have just been, as I say, who Paul was. Once he was so gung-ho for the Pharisees and the Jewish way and the law and all those fellows that are involved in that. And then he's turned and it just did something to them. And, they took it out on him. If that's the way you want to look at it. But Paul was doing something. And so they've gotten rid of him and things have kind of calmed down. But in that calmness, the churches are still being helped. What I'm saying is this. Sometimes you've got that fiery. You've got that stirred up. You've got that fella that comes in that just, he just stirs up something. And God works in that. And then you've got times of quiet and peace and calm. And God can still work in that. Okay? And it kind of reminds me, when you think about this, kind of reminds me of the story of Elijah and Elisha. Now, when Elijah was around, Elijah was like Paul. He kept something stirred up all the time. You go back and read that in 1 Kings there in chapter number 17, and you begin to see all the things that happened during the time. He goes out, the first thing he does, he sticks his finger in the face of the king. He said, "You're the problem, dude, and it ain't going to rain. We're not going to have any dew. There won't be anything. God said for me to come tell you." And if you'll remember throughout the rest of those chapters following that, you see that the king was upset with Elijah and the people were upset with Elijah, and Elijah stirred something up all the time. He got up on the hill and said, "Okay, boys, make up your mind. Who y'all going to serve?" And then, he has the contest with the prophets of Baal. And then he prays and it rains. And he goes down and Jezebel and him have a confrontation and he runs off. And then he turns around and he comes back, and that's when Elisha comes into the scene. And when you look at the ministry of Elijah, do you remember what he could do? Elijah could call fire down from heaven, couldn't he? Elijah called fire down on some of the soldiers of the king at a couple of different times. Elijah was that guy. He kept something stirred up all the time. Now, Elisha, he was the man of God. But he wasn't a stirrer. He didn't call. He was kind of the guy like Peter is here now in this study. As you see, Peter is bringing it on. And I'm surprised at that, aren't y'all? Because Peter was so crazy before. He would have been the guy you'd have thought would have stirred everything up. Because he was the guy that came in, "Oh, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll be here." And he cut off the servant's ear and all that kind of stuff that he went through at that time. But now he's the calm, strong, godly influence that the people need at this time. So, like I say, you see that there's now calm. Peter moves in and things calm down. What is he doing? Well, if you'll read this, you'll see what Peter is doing. It says, "As Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda." Now, I want you to know, Lydda is north and west of Jerusalem. And I've seen any kind of estimates from 20 miles to 25 miles. Doesn't matter. It's north and west of Jerusalem. Matter of fact, if you fly into Israel today and you go into the Ben-Gurion Airport, that's where it's located, at the city that is here called Lydda. It's not a major place. It's small, and it's near Tel Aviv, which is the old capital of Jerusalem. But old capital of Israel, which Jerusalem really is. Here's where he is. He's gone north, and kind of east, and again, or northwest. So, if you think about it, he's about to go further west. As you read on, it talks about him going to Joppa, and we'll get into that probably next week. But God is getting him out away from Jerusalem. Why? Because he's told him, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part. Let's get away from being just right here clustered up and me and my four and no more, in other words. Let's get out and let's evangelize the world, because that's the purpose of the gospel. That's what the Lord's trying to do with his gospel, is evangelize the world. So God is moving in the heart of Peter, and I don't know that Peter even really understands it, but he goes to this place that is called Lydda. He is here in this little village, probably, and you see that here he is doing, the kind of work that God's called him to do, right? And you see that the continuity of this thing is that the churches, as I say, they're continuing to grow. They're continuing to be strengthened. They're continuing to be edified. Folks are continuing to be saved. And it's done even in a calm and a quiet manner. You know, sometimes we think we need somebody to come in here and just, you know, house wreck. I mean, we need somebody to come in thunder. We need somebody to come in and just blast. And let's have a revival that way. Brother, can I tell you, revival happened, and it happened in a calm and a quiet and a peaceable kind of manner. So I'm just telling you, you should see both sides of that. But this is where we see Peter coming and Peter's interaction with the saints. Do you notice that? It says, and it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. Now, somebody had gotten out there in that area north and west of Jerusalem, and they had established a church of some way. They'd done it somehow, and folks were being saved, and a group was there, and they claimed themselves as believers in Jesus Christ. They were following the Lord, and there was a group of them there. So Peter has gone out to help them and to just basically check on them, okay? So here he is out in the area that's known as Lydda, and it's over, as I say, north and west of Jerusalem. Here he is. And really, if you look at it, he's headed back up towards his old stomping grounds, if you'll think of it that way, back up towards Galilee. He's headed in that general direction. But second of all, I want you to know that's Peter and the saints. But second of all, notice this. Let's talk about Peter and the Savior. I want you to notice there is a miracle that is done. You notice that? It says in verse number 33, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Amen? I mean, there is a miraculous thing that Peter has performed. Well, it's not Peter, really, is it? It's that the Lord has performed it. But it's through his servant, Peter. Peter's go, and he finds this man. You know, when you look at this, there are four verses here. There's four verses. Verse 32, 33, 34, and 35. I mean, real short section. And you think, well, why in the world is that? I mean, it's just a little thing. It's just, you know, there's a lot of other miracles and a lot of other things that go. Why in the world they stick this in here? Well, let's kind of look at it and see where this will take us when you begin to look at this and understand why this is here. Okay, here is a miracle. As I say, it's in this little place called Lydda. And Lydda is in the area, is an area, kind of a territory that's known as Sharon, S-A-R-O-N, but in the Old Testament it's called Sharon. S-H-A-R-O-N, which is, I was thinking about Ronnie singing that song, The Lily of the Valley. We talk about the Lily of the Valley and the Rose of Sharon. And the Rose of Sharon's mentioned over in the Song of Solomon, talked about my beloved like the Rose of Sharon. All that information that you get, and that gives you something about this area. It's a beautiful area. It's an agricultural area. It still is today, and it's got lush valleys. It's got crops. It's got all that. In other words, it's a place that's good for growing things. So here's Peter, and he's out on his way. He goes into this area, goes to this little village that's called Lydda, and he finds this man that has got the palsy, is what the Bible tells us. It says, here's this man which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Now, if you know anything about this, this disease is debilitating and probably debilitating unto death. I mean, you get paralyzed, and that's basically what the palsy is. It's a paralytic condition. This man is paralyzed. He cannot move. He cannot help himself. And so far, he's been this way for 8 long years. That's a long time to be in. I mean, the Bible said he's taken to his bed. Now, boy, when you see folks, and some of y'all know somebody like that, they've been bedfast, they've been bedridden. When they get in their bed, hey, it's a tough thing to understand how they're ever going to get out of that situation. And no doubt, this man felt this way. This man thought this way. This man said, hey, this is the end. I'm going to die here. If I can't ever get to the place where something can help me. And so far, nothing has helped him. Right? There's not a thing that we can say. If he's been there for 8 years, boy, he just feels like this is it. This is my lot in life. And ever how long I got to lay here, I'm going to lay here until I die. And here comes Peter into the picture. And as I say, you notice that there is a miraculous thing that happens. And it's pretty simple. It says that Peter found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter saith unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. I mean, you read over that, and it seems like, well, yeah, it's just, you know. No. I mean, that's miraculous. That is, can you believe that? Here's this fellow's been in his bed for 8 years. And Peter looks at him and says, get up. The Lord Jesus Christ makes thee whole. Jesus says you're healed. Get up. Now, you think about it. Some of y'all have trouble getting up in the morning. Somebody say amen right there. And you've been asleep for 8 hours. This guy's been down here for 8 years. And he gets up and begins to move. And I don't know why, but Peter tells him, make up your bed. Amen? Some of y'all need to get up in the morning and make up your bed. I don't know. But that's what he tells him to do. Get up and make your bed. In other words, hey, you're through with this. You're not going to be here. It's over. Make that up and make up your mind. You're not going back there anymore because the Lord has healed him. The Lord's healed him. And here he is, miraculously healed of a dreaded, terrible, death-signing disease. I mean, it was the kiss of death in that day for anybody to be paralyzed. I said, what are they going to do? They don't have physicians like we do, and they don't have, and you know, today we've got folks that may be in this same situation, and a lot of times the doctors say, there's nothing we can do. You're paralyzed. You're in this condition that we don't have any medication. We don't have anything that can help you, and you're probably just confined to this bed until you die. And this man had that same sentence pronounced upon him. But thank God, Peter walked by and said, Jesus has got the power to make you whole. Amen. Isn't that good? I want you to notice what Peter is doing. I mean, you just look at it this way. Peter is busy in his ministry. He's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. Peter is working in ministry. I mean, he's busy and he's doing what he's supposed to. The Bible tells us there in verse number 32 that he passed through. He's going through this whole area. And Peter is busy being about the Father's business. I mean, he's out there checking on people and seeing about this. And maybe he goes somewhere and by some place. And so he said, hey, who lives over here? And so he said, oh, there's a man over there. He's confined to his bed. He'll never move. He's going to die in that shape. You don't even need to bother him. And you know what Peter said? Hey, I think there's something I can do for him. But it ain't me that's going to do it. It's the Lord. Peter's busy about the ministry. But not only is Peter busy about the ministry, and you see that he's making himself, and he shows everyone his availability. He's not only in ministry, but he's making himself available for the work that God wants him to do. Don't you know, he was there by being available. I mean, he got out of the place over there at Jerusalem, and he got out and he began to do what God had called him to do. Amen? And isn't that what the Lord wants me and you to do? He said, take this gospel, take it to every creature, get out here and spread it, tell the good news. And in that day now, in this book, you and I are going to see a lot of miracles done, and we're going to understand that the miracles are a message within themselves to the people that are thereabout. It helps them to believe in what those men are doing because they don't have a Bible like we do, right? They don't have all this information like we do. But now they see God doing something. And if you'll notice, as I say, here's Peter He's involved in ministry, but he's also making himself available. He's got his availability. And I want you to notice this. You notice Peter's humility. Not only his availability, but his humility. Do you see what he said? When he comes in here, it says that he's looking at this man, and Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Boy, can I tell you, I'm being honest with you, I don't see Benny Hinn going to somebody's house without a TV camera, without a crowd, without a noise, without an offering, without some kind of something, and doing his little doing thing. But do you see, here's Peter. Peter goes to this man's house. Peter's not worried about who's looking at him. He's not worried about whether the guy's got any money. You probably realize this man has nothing. He's probably lost his job. He's probably lost all the finances that he's had. He's probably living in a terrible condition and way because of his debilitating illness. I mean, he probably is in a bad way. But Peter doesn't go in looking for money, asking about money, doesn't want to. Peter's not trying to call in a crowd and say, y'all come watch this. Peter goes to the man himself and says, hey, the Lord Jesus is going to heal you. And he does it in humility. He doesn't go in and say, watch what I'm about to do, y'all. Doesn't go in some flamboyant white suit, white shirt, white tie and white shoes. He don't go in like that. He don't go in waving his hand and doing all this bravado. He simply goes in and says, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Amen? And I don't think when Peter and John were there at the chapter number 3, if y'all remember, chapter number 3, when they went in and they saw the man that was laid there at the gate called Beautiful, and he was lame. And Peter looked at him, and that man looked up, and he expected to get some money from them. Peter said, silver and gold, have I? He said, we ain't got no money. He said, but what we got, we're about to give you. Peter didn't say, hey, all y'all turn around, watch this. Because if you remember, the crowd didn't even know what in the world had happened. Peter reached down, got the man by the hand, lifted him up, and immediately, it said, his feet and ankle bones received strength. And then he began to run through the place of worship and praising God and shouting and said, hey, y'all, I'm healed. And everybody began to look around then. But Peter wasn't calling attention to himself. And John, he wasn't looking for any laud or fame or claim or anything out of it. He just wanted God's purpose to be done. And as I said, in this day, you see these miraculous things that are done. And they are done because the Jews were looking for what they looked for. They looked for a sign. And the Lord's given them a sign. Here you go. And just notice here, here's Peter. As I said, he's busy about ministry. He's got himself as in availability. He's done it in humility. And he's done it in dependency. He's saying if anything gets done, it's the Lord that's going to do it. If you'll see that, he throws it all on the Lord. He says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. If it's going to get done, Aeneas, the Lord's doing it to you. Make thy bed. And what does it say? Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. What does that mean? That means Peter's stepping back and saying, the Lord did this, y'all. The Lord Jesus did this. I didn't do it. Nobody else are with me here, or nobody else that I know. It's just the Lord has done this for this man. Amen. He said, I'm dependent on him. And isn't that the way you and I ought to be in everything that we do? We ought to throw our dependency upon the Lord. I mean, look, we're depending on him. And again, Peter's not doing it for himself, not doing it to make a name, not doing it to have his name up in lights. He's not doing it for money. He's not doing it to gain a crowd. He's not doing it for any reason. He's just doing it because the Lord has sent him there, and he sees that this is part of the ministry that God has called him to, and the man gets miraculously healed. But notice this, and it says he arose immediately. But notice in verse number 35, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and they turned to the Lord. All right? So you see, Peter goes and visits and is around the saints. Then you see Peter and the miracle that he does through the Savior. But last of all, look at this and notice Peter and the way the message spreads. Notice how this thing spreads. If you'll notice, Aeneas gets up and arose immediately. And then it said, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. They turned to the Lord. So what has happened here? Well, this whole miracle has to do with the spread of the gospel. Now, you know, as I say, when you begin to look at this, there's just four little verses, and this is the only place really in the New Testament where this little city or little town of Lydda is mentioned. And not much of it's made there, and one thing happens, and we don't know the guy's name, and we don't know too many people. All we know is Peter, right? That's all we know out of that is him. And it seems like just almost like a little footnote in the story of the book of Acts. But the Lord put it in there. The Lord put it in there, for there is a purpose to what he's doing. There's a purpose. When he puts stuff like this in here, there is a purpose to it. I mean, the purpose of the whole thing is so that you might see the salvation of people through the act of the miracle. That's what the Lord wants us to see out of this, is that he says, look, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and they turned to the Lord. I mean, all these people have seen this miracle. They saw this man, and apparently they knew him. Everybody that saw him turned to the Lord. And it's a miraculous thing that has happened. It's an amazing thing that has happened. And the purpose of this whole story, and I think the purpose for it being placed in the narrative, is so that people will believe and turn to the Lord. I mean, that's the whole purpose. Now, you look at the next story, and we'll look at it next week, and it's about a lady that is here in this same area. It talks about how that a little bit further to the west, there's a place called Joppa. And Peter goes there next, and there's a lady that's named Dorcas, and she gets raised from the dead. And that's a pretty notable thing. Now, if I'm looking, I'm thinking, boy, I know why that's in there. Boy, she's dead. This guy was as good as dead. This guy would have died. This guy had no hope. This guy had no chance. This guy had no help. The only thing that saved him was the amazing power of God. You see, the purpose of this miracle is so that you can see, you and I can see, and so that they could see, and they could find the salvation that comes from the Lord. It wasn't just to heal this man. I mean, Peter had a purpose for going here, and part of it was that healing, but the main purpose was that others could see it, and they'd know, and they'd fear, and turn to the Lord. We need some folks today that see something out of the church. I mean, it may not be bringing people in here that are physically infirmed and raising them up from their sick bed. It may not be that. Buddy, we need something, and we can do it with the same power that Peter had. The purpose was to do this healing and to show people and be a sign to them. But I want to tell you, the power is the same thing that you and I've got today. That same power. What power was? It's the power of the Lord. I mean, it's the power. He said, look, let me tell you, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Can I tell you, it's the same thing that's going to make people whole today. It may not be physically whole, but it'll be spiritually whole. And when they get spiritually whole, you can say to them, Jesus has made me whole. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad people will report that when they get saved? How'd you get saved? Jesus did it for me. Amen? I mean, Jesus did. Do you remember here the other day we was talking about the guy that was palsied, that four of his friends brought him on a bed and they had to tear the roof off and bring him down before Jesus. What's the first thing Jesus said to him? Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You remember that? And all those Pharisees and hypocrites and whoever around there said, how can this man do this? Nobody can forgive sins but God. And Jesus said, well, let me just show you whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to take up your bed and walk. You know what he did? He said, take up your bed and walk. That man picked it up, took off, and, brother, everybody's jaw hung down to their chest, didn't it? Their mouths flew. I mean, they were amazed. They were stunned. They marveled at what had happened by the power of God. Can I tell you, we need the power of God today. Back in our churches more than we need anything. I appreciate good singing. I appreciate good teaching. I appreciate clean pews and floors and nice buildings and heat and air and all that stuff, good acoustic. Every bit of that, I'm glad we got it. But I'm telling you, all of that is nothing if we don't have the power of God. We got to have the power of God more than anything. I mean, this power that raise this guy up is the same power that raises up a dead sinner. It's the same power that changes life. It's the same power that gives a man a renewed life. Brother, this man got a new life, didn't he? Because he's physically healed. But now you and I understand it's the same power that changes lives forever. Amen? It just gives them, hey, yeah, there is power in the blood, isn't there? So you see that there's power. The power that it took to perform this miracle is the same thing. And isn't it amazing? I mean, it's just like you just see Peter, and he's just walking through here, and he comes up on this guy, and he said, man, he said, Aeneas, he called him by name, and he said, the Lord Jesus. I mean, he said, man, Jesus Christ has the power to raise you up. Just get up, make up your bed, and take off. And he arose, the Bible says, immediately. All right, and the last thing I want you to realize is that you see the purpose of the miracle and the power of the miracle. But don't you notice the people of this miracle? It says, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Sarah, everybody that saw that turned to the Lord. They all saw him. They all knew that something had happened. They all realized it was miraculous. They had all probably heard the story of how sick and how, you know how it is, and maybe a small place. This is just a small place. And here they are. They heard the story. You know what they do? They say, wow, what happened to him? And somebody says, well, Peter came by. And Peter said, the Lord Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. And he is. What do y'all think about that? Whew. They said, man, where is it? And I think really from this, you'll get this idea. I believe that Peter probably hung around there for a little while, okay? Peter is probably in that area for a period of time because you'll see that it says there in the next verse, it says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, and talks about that they called for Peter. When they heard that Peter was there in verse number 36, they heard that Peter was in the area. So Peter had been around that area. What was he doing? He's probably preaching. He's probably doing the work of the ministry that God had put him in. He's probably helping people. He's probably checking on the churches. He's probably doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. And now God's about to give him another opportunity to perform a sign miracle in the sight of these people. Amen? And that's exactly what these things are all about. You know, a lot of folks get all excited about those things and say, well, why don't we see miracles anymore? Well, because as I say here, a lot of times the miracles are done as a sign for the Jews. The Jews are seeking for that. And the Greeks, what are they doing? The Gentiles, they're seeking after wisdom, right? And now today we have this Bible and they show us both. And I'm telling you, when God saves somebody, it's a miraculous thing. It's a miraculous thing. So I just want you to see that. I know it's a little short and a little condensed in just a few verses, but God had a whole lot in there for me and you to see because we just needed to see that. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song, if you would. While we get ready to sing, maybe you want to stand with us, if you would. And those of you there on Facebook, you take this in and realize that the Lord has done some great things. The Lord's done some marvelous things. And the Lord continues to do some marvelous and great things if we would only let him. If we'd only let him. So as we stand tonight, what are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie? Page 391. Page 391.